This morning we are going to be in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. I know that's a shock to some of you that it's actually correct, but that's where we're at. Somebody said something last week about, well, the way you do that, the way you mess up every week, it just makes it seem more alive. And I'm like, Trust me, it is not intentional. But this morning we are going to be in Matthew chapter 4, and this is the temptation of Jesus. And so let's start, if you read along with me. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Let's pray. Father, as we come today and open your word, Lord, may it be clear. Lord, help us to understand what it is you have for us. Lord, give me the words to say and the passion with which to say them. Lord, that you would receive all glory and honor. Lord, move in this place through your Spirit. May we be submissive to him. In your name we pray. Amen. As we read this passage, we know that Jesus was tempted by the devil. And I know there are a lot of people that say, well, you know, it says, you know, that the Spirit led him out into the wilderness and he was going to be tempted. And so he was out there for 40 days and he's fasting and he's praying for 40 days. And they're still amazed that Jesus was tempted. Because it said, wasn't Jesus perfect? Yes, he was. We get the understanding sometimes that temptation is sin. Temptation is not sin. Falling to temptation, giving in to temptation, is sin. Jesus was tempted, and if you go to Luke, it says he was tempted. Luke's version says he was tempted for all 40 days and 40 nights. It's just that three of them were written down. And he was tempted in every way, the Bible tells us, like we are, so that he would understand what we're going through. And so as Jesus was tempted, today we're going to talk about those three ways. But in three ways that I hadn't looked at before, and I want us to take and just not just see that Jesus was tempted, but I want you to understand that probably before you get out of this place, you're going to be tempted as well. Satan's not going to wait until you walk out here. Some people say, man, as soon as I got out of church, you know, Satan tried to start hitting me and attacking me. Well, if you get that far, you're lucky. Because he's not going to wait till you leave. He's going to start attacking you now to keep you from hearing what God has for you to hear. And to clear another thing up, three times it uses the word "if" in these verses. Two of those times in the verse where he says, "If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God." In the Greek, in the original Koine Greek, that same word translates "since." Because Satan knew Jesus was the Son of God. He wasn't trying to put out the thought in Satan's mind in Jesus' mind that maybe you're not the Son of God. He actually said, since you're the Son of God, you can do this. And Satan was going to attack him that way. But you know, so many times we think we're too spiritual to be tempted. Now, nobody in here would admit that. But man, if my prayer life is going right and I'm in the Bible the way I should be, then I'm safe. You know, if my quiet time of a morning, if it's going really well, and if my life is going good, then I will be okay. Look at this and understand that Jesus had just came from his baptism. He had just been claimed by God himself as the Son of God. In Luke, it says he was filled with the Spirit. I don't think any of us are there yet. He's the Son of God, and it's claimed that you're my Son in whom I am well pleased. And it says that he was filled with the Spirit, and he was still tempted. So if you ever think you're at a spot in your life where you are so spiritual, you are so close to God, that you're not going to be tempted, you are wrong. Because too many times we don't like to think about it, but we think, oh, I'm doing pretty good. I haven't been tempted today. Yeah, you have. He's just pretty smooth about it. But as we look at this today, I want us to look at these three temptations maybe a little bit different. That first one, he says, since you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Understand that God knew Jesus had been out there for 40 days and 40 nights without anything to eat. He knew he was hungry. God knew Jesus was hungry. There are times in your life that God is going to allow you to be hungry. He's going to allow you to be hungry for two reasons. One, so that you'll learn to trust His provision. But two, so that you will learn that He wants to feed you. Jesus could have very easily turned these stones to bread, but He knew God's provision. He trusted God's provision. Whatever it is you're going through in life, Satan's going to attack you and say, do this, do that. God's too slow. God has not answered you to this point. Go ahead and do what you want to do. Just do it in the way you think God would want you to do it. Just go ahead and do it. That's pretty much what he said to Jesus. And that's what he says to us. Satan is going to attack us in a way that will keep us from trusting God's provision. He does not want you to trust God's provision. Because who are you going to trust otherwise? You're going to trust yourself. And we all know how that works. We know how that ends up. But God wants us to trust Him. He wants us to depend on Him. He wants to supply for us. But He wants us to get to that point to where we choose to trust Him. Because we've all been at that point before where we have, you've heard people say, man, I couldn't do anything else but pray. Man, it was so bad, all I could do was pray. I got to the point where there was nothing I could do but pray. That's where we should have started. But too many times, we trust ourselves, we trust finances, we trust other people, we trust our job, we trust situations, but we don't trust God. Because those other things, I can see how they work out. When I trust my wife, I can see how that works out. When I trust things in this world that I can see, I can tell what's going to work out and what's not. And then I learn to trust based on what's happened in the past. But sometimes it's hard for us to trust God because we can't see. And we don't know how He's going to respond. And that's the point of faith, is understanding He wants me to trust Him to provide. Not what I want for provision, but what He wants. Satan is going to attempt to to get you to trust anyone or anything else but God. And you know when he does that the most? Look where Jesus was. He had let him out in the wilderness. There was nobody else around. When you feel like you're all alone, or maybe you are all alone, you're the only one at the house, you're the only one on the job, you're the only one in, you know, driving down the road, and that's when Satan begins to attack you, because nobody else is ever going to know. I've got nobody else to lean on. I've got nobody right here beside me to say, hey, can you pray for me? Because I'm in the wilderness. I'm all by myself. And Satan says, who are you going to trust? He allows us to be hungry so that when we are tempted, we will choose to trust his provision. That's hard to do. But it's the role model that Jesus gave. The second temptation, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. He took him to the top of the temple, and he said, throw yourself down, because the Bible says that, he didn't say Bible, because I didn't have the Bible at that time, but he, throw yourself down, because the Bible says that God's going to have his angels tend to you, and you're going to be okay. They're not even going to let you stump your toe. Don't miss where that temptation took place. At the temple. The holiest place. He was in church, basically. And Satan tempted him. He took him to the holiest place that they knew of. The place that should remember, that should remind a person of God. And even in that situation, at church, he was tempted to test God. Sometimes God allows me to be in danger. He allows you to be in danger so that we will trust God's protection. Jesus says, don't tempt the Lord your God. In other words, don't try to prove, don't try to push and force God's hand. That's what Satan was wanting him to do. You trust his protection. Don't test his power, trust his protection. For us, as we go through a day, if we ever think we're going to get to that point where we're not going to be tempted, like I said earlier, then that's when we're going to fall. The Bible tells us that. We have to trust that if I am a child of God, he's got my back. No matter how things go, no matter how things look, he wants to deliver me. He wants me to call on him. This took place in the temple. And Jesus told him that you shouldn't test the Lord your God. How many times do we test God? Well, God, if you're really real, then you'll do this. You're asking if God's real. And maybe sometime before a person accepts Christ, they don't understand it, and they're at that point. But for you and me as a Christian, if I ever say, God, if you really want this, you do this. We have to understand that God's plan is sovereign, and he allows us to be in situations so that we will call on him because he wants to deliver us. Satan wants to do just the opposite. You know God's power. Put him to a test. If your God's really real, put him to a test. He'll show himself. My God doesn't have to show himself. He's done enough already that I don't have to ask him to do any more, because what he's done is enough. The third temptation. He takes him up on a high mountain and he shows him all of these things. And he says, if you fall down and worship me, I'll give you everything that you can see. I'm sure that it was a beautiful place. I'm sure that all the things that he was showing Jesus, all the glory and majesty of God's creation, Satan is saying, I'll give you all of that if you'll just worship me. But Jesus said, away with you, Satan. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. We have to get to the point where we choose to worship God. There's so many other things in our life that draw our attention, and they're good things. They're great things, and they draw our attention, and they bring us to a place that they're positive things and things we should want, but we begin to worship them. And Jesus says two things here, one that I think sometimes people drop off. We know that when Satan tells him to just fall down and worship me, that Jesus responds, you should only worship the Lord your God. And a lot of people stop right there. Man, I will worship God. I'm not going to worship what Satan wants. I'm going to worship God and God alone. But that's not all the verse. Too many times we stop right there. I'm going to trust him for my provision. I'm going to trust him for my protection. And I'm going to keep him as my priority, that I'm going to worship him and worship him alone. But Jesus said more. He said, worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Are you serving him? Serving him and worshiping him are two different things. We are to worship him, bring glory and honor to him with our life. But when you serve somebody, you put them first. Are you doing that in your life? Satan's going to attack you because that's really easy to turn away from the service part. But part of the worship is the service. Satan's going to tempt us to doubt God's provision, to doubt God's protection, and to keep him from being our priority. Pretty much every temptation will fall into one of those three. You're going to be attacked today. Are you worshiping and serving? Is he your priority? Are you trusting his provision, or are you doing it on your own? Are you stepping out on faith enough that you need his protection? Because it's there. It's always been there. Because his provision goes back to the cross. He provided for us. So many times we talk about it and we throw it in at the end of the service. Oh, that Jesus died on the cross. We take the communion this morning and we talk about what happened on that cross when his body was broken and his blood was shed for us. But that cross made the difference. That was his first provision for us. And there are too many people, and I'm sure probably some here today, that have never accepted that provision. They've never surrendered to Jesus Christ. Well, why would you not? As a Christian, you're probably thinking, I'm probably thinking, why would someone not accept that provision of God, of His Son dying on the cross so that they could be a joint heir with Jesus? But you know what? If you're not accepting His provision on a daily basis, you're still not accepting His provision. You're still doing it on your own. The protection that Jesus had promised of the angels, keeping him from dashing his foot on a stone, that protection he gives us, forgiveness. He takes away the penalty of our sins. The wages of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. He has promised us that protection from sin. He will separate us one day completely from sin. But right now we have protection from sin. And that's through the forgiveness of his blood. So if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, then the wages of your sin are still wages. Somebody's going to pay them. Jesus dying on the cross is your protection from the penalty of your sin. And again, it goes back to that same question. Why would a person not accept that? Why do we not accept the protection of God every day? You and I don't step out in faith and live our life and stand and speak the way we're supposed to because we're afraid of what this world might do to us. We're afraid of what our friends might say. And when you're afraid, you're not trusting in God's protection. And then the last one, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you never accepted His death on the cross and asked Him for forgiveness, then He is not the Lord of your life. That's what He wants to be. He wants to be the Lord of your life so that you can spend eternity with Him in heaven. And again, it comes back to that same question. Why would somebody not accept that? But as a Christian, why would I not accept the fact that He's Lord of every day? I used to tell kids in children's church years ago that being the Lord of your life is like being the boss. The Lord of the castle was the one that was in charge. If I wanted to paint the castle purple with pink polka dots, I had to ask the Lord of the castle. Anything I did, if I wanted to dig the moat deeper, then I had to ask the Lord of the castle because He was in charge. But when you and I think of God as Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we just think of the Savior part. If He is not Lord, He is not Savior. If He is not Lord, He is not Savior. When Jesus was tempted these three times, He overcame those temptations through Scripture. He quoted Scripture. He trusted. He called. And He worshiped God alone. The only way you're going to make it through the temptations that are coming is those same way. Choose to trust Him. Choose to call on Him. And choose to worship and serve Him only. Every person sitting in this auditorium today has to do that. You have to make a choice. When you walk out of here, you're going to choose to trust Him or you're going to choose not to. You're going to choose to call on Him as Lord and Savior or as your protector through the day, or you're going to choose not to. You're going to choose to worship and serve Him only with all of your life, with everything you have. You're going to choose to serve Him and worship Him, or you're going to choose to say, no, God, I'm not going to. There is no in between. It's either black or white. There's no fence. Well, I'll decide someday. No, you've already decided. That's the choices that we make. Satan is going to tempt you before you walk out of this place. You don't need to make that decision today. You can always do it later. Let me read up on it. Let me think about it. The temptations of Satan come very smooth, very deceptive. But trust me, they're coming. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, for your word. Lord, we know how much you love us. Lord, I pray for each person in this place that they would answer what you're saying to them, that you would speak to our hearts. We thank you for loving us. In your precious name we pray. Amen.